Well, good afternoon, all of you. I wanted to thank Mr. and Mrs. Marchbanks for coming down. He didn't say how long it took to drive down there, but I know that it takes a while. It takes a while, and we appreciate you coming. And I say that because occasionally we do drive to Las Vegas. Not often, but we do sometimes. Anyway, in 1972, I was allowed to join Spokesman's Club. And I participated for the next 12 years. Hard to believe. Only takes you about 2 years to go through, but you know, some people are slow. One aspect of Spokesman's Club was table topics. The topics master would ask a question, and the members would need to think quick, raise a hand, and then each was called upon to give a well-thought-out, short, intelligent answer. And some did and some didn't, but that was the plan. Brethren, if I were to ask you right now, what are the three most pressing problems in the U.S. today, what would you personally come up with? I can see you all thinking, bah, 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 bah. Well, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. Instead, I'm going to ask, what is the one solution to all of those three most pressing problems? And before you answer, I'll give it to you, give you the answer. The only way that we will see an end to war, famine, and pestilence is when Jesus returns and puts away Satan for 1,000 years. I hope that he will return soon, but I am not holding my breath until he comes. Instead, I want us all to open our Bibles and review what Jesus and his friends tell us to do until that return happens. Let's begin with Ephesians 1. And we'll read verses 15, 16, and 17. Ephesians 1, verse 15 says, "Therefore I also," and this is the Apostle Paul speaking, "after I heard of your faith," he's talking to the Ephesians, "after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for the other saints." So the Ephesians weren't just looking out for their own business. They were also looking out for their friends in the faith. "Do not cease to give thanks. I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers." So the other Ephesians, when they prayed to God, also made mention of the other people, their brethren, in their prayers. "So that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him." So when you pray to God and you're talking to our Father in heaven, our elder brother Jesus Christ, and you're sharing that prayer in your head, you know, because you're not always kneeling beside Suzanne, you know, like I am, or, you know, you don't have a mate that you're there praying with, but you're praying in the spirit with the other people. And when you're doing that, God will give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. That means stuff you didn't know, in the knowledge of him. And this is why we pray. We pray because we don't know it all and we want to know more. Paul says that he heard that many in Ephesus had become converted and they cared. They cared about one another. And now he prays that God will give these Ephesians brethren wisdom and revelation. And Believe it or not, we all need wisdom and revelation. We need to know this. So what is wisdom? We want wisdom. What is it? Turn to Deuteronomy 4. Deuteronomy 4, verse 6. I like Mr. Marchbanks using those good old Deuteronomy things, because Deuteronomy is, it's where God laid it all out, and I have to agree with him 100%. Deuteronomy 4 and verse 6. It says, therefore, and this is Moses talking to the people, but it's like before Moses could talk to the people, God had to talk to Moses, right? So therefore, be careful to observe them. Them what? What did God tell Moses to observe? And what's Moses telling the people to observe? He's telling the Israelites, those Israelites of old, but the Israelites of new too, he's telling them to observe the commandments. Observe them, for this is your wisdom, that's what we were looking for, and your understanding in the sight of the people who will hear these statutes. In other words, you're going to obey the statutes, you're going to study them, you're going to think about them, and then you're going to do them. And when you do, all the people in the world who are not Israelites are going to look at you and they're going to say, how come they're doing all these things? And then they're going to see the blessings that God's going to give you. And then they're going to say, well, I want some of those blessings too. Because remember, people are mostly physical. And they want physical stuff. And what God is saying here is, if you keep my commandments, you will be blessed with all those physical things. Yes, there are spiritual blessings, and we will talk about those a little bit later. But right now, we're talking about physical Israelites in a physical world who are doing the right thing, and God says he will bless them if they do. And they will say, surely, this great nation is a wise and understanding people. Let's look a little bit further at verse 7. Verse 7, for what great nation is there that God has so near to it as the Lord our God is to us, for whatever reason we may call upon him? So Moses, getting the word from God, is saying, you can call upon God. You can ask him to do the things, and God will respond. God will listen to you. God cares about you. God will help you when you need it the most. Now, I said it before, but I'll say it again. We're Israel. Remember, there's a physical Israel, there's a spiritual Israel, but we in this room, we are Israel. Let's go to Galatians 3. Galatians 3. I said that we're Israel. Maybe I can have something that will support my brave enunciation. Galatians 3, verse 26. Galatians 3, verse 26. Paul, once again, for you are all sons of God through faith in, what was Mr. Marchbanks preaching about? Jesus Christ. You are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. As many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And, as Mr. Marchbanks was saying, there's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither slave nor free. There's neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Ties it together. That's what God always wanted. But now we have it in writing. Now we have it in God's word. It says it right here. So if we're Israel, and the church Israel, and if we have wisdom, I hope, if wisdom is ours or can be ours, if we obey, it can be ours if we obey what God says to do. If the United States, if the United States is obeying God, we're in good shape. If you're obeying God, you're in good shape. So I want us to think about this. Are we obeying God? And don't put it on anybody else. Just look into your own mind and just think, am I obeying God? Because we can't control the world. We have nothing to say. I mean, we're incidental. God can control the world. But you can't, and I can't. God can. But you can control what you do. You can control how you act. You can control how you react. Brethren, we can choose individually to do exactly what God tells us to do, what God, both Father and Son, tell us to do in their word. If we do, if we obey, so what? What will that do for us? Because selfishly, I'm very physical. I want to know if I do the right thing, what will I get? Let's notice some things. Let's go to Psalm 91, please. Psalm 91, I'm not sure who wrote Psalm 91, maybe in my Bible it'll tell me here. Psalm 91, the heading, the uninspired heading, it's kind of cool though. In my Bible it says, the safety of abiding in the presence of God. I like that. If God is taking care of you, you're going to be okay. And I'll start at verse 1. Excuse me. I'll start at verse 1 and read all the way through 8. He who dwells, and that's she who dwells, in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Now, you know, in the New Testament, they talk about a shadow. But whenever you have a shadow, you have a reality too. So there's a lot of subtleties here that if this was an English lesson, I'd like to go into metaphor and tell you. It's not. This is just God's word, so I'm not going to go there. But if you abide in the shadow of the Almighty, you're pretty close to God. Verse 2, I will say of the Eternal, He is my refuge and my fortress. I want God to take care of me. That's who I need to take care of me. My God, in Him will I trust? Surely, the psalmist said, He, that's God, will deliver you from the snare of the fowler. How many of you know what a fowler is? I want you to raise your hand. If you don't raise your hand, I'm not going to go on. Oh, maybe you don't want me to go on. Okay. What's a fowler? I mean, a fowler, it's one of those things that we don't ordinarily talk about. But we do talk about hunting, right? Okay, we talk about hunting. So if somebody was hunting you down, wouldn't you want to be protected? Of course you would. So he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler. Snare is something that catches rabbits and other things. From the perilous pestilence. Any of you hear about any pestilences in the last year? I've heard about pestilence. Pestilence 1, 2, 3, you know, they got 4, 5, 6 coming. I don't know how many, but from the pestilence, he shall cover you with his feathers. What? No, I don't want feathers. I want a coat of mail. But look at this. This is metaphor. This is metaphor, and the poet writing this is trying to tell us things that are beautiful, not just eye-opening, but they're also supposed to be beautiful. And under his wings you shall take refuge. I used to raise pigeons. And the mother pigeon, you know, after she hatched her eggs, you know, the little pigeons would hide under her wings for refuge. Ask me about my pigeons in a message chat. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day. All of these are metaphors. Nor of the pestilence that walks in the darkness. If there's anything that we're afraid of, it's the pestilence that walks in the darkness, right? It's all over the place. It got me, you know? It's real, but you don't have to be afraid, do you? You do not have to be afraid because that's what God's word says. God will take care of you. the pestilence that walks in the darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. You know, we haven't seen that yet. Other places in the world have earthquakes, and they have all this, that, and the other thing. Suzanne's not smiling at me. But we're going to suffer destruction in the United States of America that we've not seen yet. And that's what is being talked about in this psalm. We do not have to worry about the darkness that lays waste at noonday. And noonday is when everybody's looking, you know, it's not at night. Two more verses. 1,000 may fall at your right hand, at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you see it. And you will see the wicked get their reward. You know, I don't want to go on because Suzanne and I have talked about this, and she doesn't want me to lean on all the horrors that are coming up. But they are. That's the reality. That's the reality. We've read it in God's word for a number of years. So let's go on. Let's go on. Where is the secret place of the Most High? If you secretly know, you can raise your hand, but I don't want to see any hands. If you're there, now listen to this, because this is important. If you are there in the secret place of the Most High, you already know where it is. If you're not in the secret place of the Most High, and you don't have any idea where it is, guess what? You're in trouble. You're in trouble. So think about those words. Where is the secret place of the Most High? If you read that scripture and you say that to yourself, then you don't have any fear. If you know where the secret place of the Most High is, you read that, you know it, you're not afraid. Let's go to Colossians 3. But I really love Psalm 91, but let's go to Colossians 3. I want to tell you what our hope is, because maybe the metaphors, the similes, you know, maybe all that, maybe it's going by you. But let's go to Colossians 3, and I'll read the first four verses of Colossians 3. If, it says, Colossians 3, verse 1, if you were raised with Christ, that's metaphor too, when they put you into the baptismal font or the water, the ocean, wherever it was you got baptized, they raised you up. They didn't leave you there. They didn't hold you down. You would have died. If you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is now sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died. It's a metaphor. Most of the people I'm talking to right now are alive, right? But you died in Christ. When you were baptized, you gave up your old life. You were put under the water. Your sins were washed away. You were raised up by whoever was there, helped you up, you know, and then he laid hands on you for the receipt of God's Holy Spirit. This was important. You died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is, it says, well, our, Christ is our life. When he appears, when he comes down on trumpets, whenever, then you will also appear with him in glory. That's what we're looking forward to. We're not looking forward to now or next week or next month or whatever. We're not looking for when the COVID thing goes away and things get back to normal. We're not looking forward to any of that. We're looking forward to Christ returning, because when he returns in glory, then we will be raised up with him, whether dead, whether alive, doesn't matter. That's what we're looking forward to. Running out of breath. Get excited. But Skip, you say, there's so much bad stuff happening now. And we're so small and we're without power. I can hear you saying that secretly in your heart of hearts. I know, I know. I know no one would say this, but occasionally I feel that some may be thinking it as we see world events happening around us, even local events come crashing into our small world. You know, Suzanne, I always talk about her, such a good one to pick on. You know, when those rioters went into La Mesa and burned down her store that she likes to go to, rioted and did all that stuff, got her a little upset. It's my store. That's where I go, my bank. What are they doing? Okay. Let's see what Moses said to the Israelites when they were backed up against the Red Sea. Let's go to Exodus 14. I love this part. Exodus 14. What? And they were crying because these were Israelites, and Israelites know how to cry. Oh, that was me. I'm miserable. Exodus 14, verse 12. This is an Israelite lament from way back when. Is this not what we told you in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians, for it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die under COVID-19. No. Under die in the wilderness. That's right. Excuse me. Loose translation there. So what did Moses had to say? Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Eternal, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again, no more, forever. Whoa. Moses had a lot of confidence, didn't he? But he spoke face to face with God. That's what God's word says. And Moses had faith. And he was trying to stir up the faith in those Israelites that were not doing very good. Some of the Israelites wanted to go home. They wanted to go back to Egypt. You know where Egypt was? That's called sin. Sin. They wanted to go back and live in the world. We know where it is. Yeah, we're slaves. But I want to go back there because I knew that I would get maybe one meal a day if I was lucky. You know, they'd throw me scraps. Is that what we want to do? Is that where we want to go back to? Go back to the world? I hope not. Remember when I asked at the start, I said, what is the solution to any or all of our world problems? And the answer is Exodus 14, 14. The Eternal will fight for you, and you, human beings, hold your peace. Sit down, be calm. Because if the Eternal doesn't fight for you, you'll all be dead men anyway, you know. But the Eternal will fight for you. Those are the promises we've been given. We have to call upon our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ and his Father. We have to say we read it in the book. We believe it. We have incredibly little power. In point of fact, we have none against Satan. We do have a part to play, and let's conclude with that part. Let's finish up in Matthew 14. There's stuff that we can do, and we have to do it. You know, just because God's got all the power, that doesn't mean there's nothing for us to do. There's plenty for us to do. Matthew 14. I'll start reading in verse 22. I like this part. I like anything that has to do with water. I like to go into the ocean. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side. I like that. You guys get in the boat, and I'll come over later. Oh, okay, Lord, yeah. So they get in the boat, and they head off into the sea. I like this. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain to do what? By himself to pray. Now, when evening came, he was all alone there. Now we get into the exciting part, you know, that Hollywood would make. Now the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. You know, the wind's blowing like crazy, you know, going all over the place. And Jesus comes walking calmly on this boisterous ocean, or sea of Galilee. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they immediately said, "We're saved by Jesus." No, they didn't. They said, "It's a ghost." You can see how converted they were at that time, right? None of them had the Holy Spirit yet. "It's a ghost. I read about that in the ghost book. I know it's a ghost." These are Christ's closest friends. And they say, "It's a ghost. It's a ghost." And they cried out in fear. Oh, my. But immediately, and Jesus didn't waste any time, immediately Jesus spoke to them and he said, "Be of good cheer, be happy, or relax, you wimps. It is I, don't be afraid." Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. That's the message to us. Bad stuff is happening. I can prove it. Talk to me about it. I'll tell you. But don't be afraid. And Peter answered him and he said, "Lord," you see his faith, "Lord, if it's really you, command me to come to you on the water." So Jesus said right away, come on, man. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on water. Peter had never, you know, he was a sailor, so he's used to swimming, but he never walked on water before. But Jesus, he saw Jesus as his Lord and Master, and his Lord and Master said, "Come." So he started walking on water. I love these stories because they're real. This really happened. "Come." And he walked on water. But, there's always a but in there. "But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, 'Lord, save me.'" Well, at least he asked for the right guy to save him. At least he got that part correct. "And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?' And when they had got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshiped Jesus, saying, 'Truly, you are the Son of God.'" It's a great story. You know, I sometimes talking to the grandkids, and I, "Well, is that a real story, Papa, or is that one of your stories? Because we know you make up stories all the time." Well, this was a real story. This really happened. This is one of those true stories. Okay, last scripture. Let's go to Psalm 46. Psalm 46, verse 1. "God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble." We're all in trouble. "Therefore, we will not fear." The psalmist is saying, what we need to say in our hearts. We will not fear, even though the earth be removed. What? That's a pretty big deal. And though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Now, what one of my professors at San Diego State used to say, yeah, it's going to break off, you know, and north of the San Andreas Fault up by Santa Barbara, you know, and it's just going to move on into the ocean. There'll be a big, and I went, what? Sounds pretty big. And though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters roar and be troubled like we're making Peter shake, though the mountains shake with its swelling, do not be afraid. Then I want to skip down to verse 7, last scripture. Verse 7. Why should we not be afraid? And the reason is the Lord of hosts, that's Jesus Christ, the King of kings, soon coming King to this earth, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob should be and is our refuge.